of God, whose name is Yahweh, through his favorite prophet, says the following. So, go ahead. Decide to form associations and treaties, nations, and thereby choose the means of your destruction. Ponder the implications. Every distant land and a strange place. Choose to prepare yourself for war, and thereby be dismayed and devastated. You know, if you think that making yourself militarily strong is going to protect you, the opposite is true. The very fact that America has the world's largest military is what makes America so vulnerable. You know, if America didn't have this large military, we would not have invaded Afghanistan or Iraq. We wouldn't have invaded Vietnam. We wouldn't have even been attacked in Pearl Harbor. No one would have cared. But it's the very fact that we have it, that we use it, and by using it, we become belligerent and we become the enemy of people who devastate and terrorize us. God is telling us this. It's not rocket science. This is not hard to understand, and yet we don't seem to want to listen to God. We think that if we put our faith in our military, that, oh, we'll be protected. Well, the opposite is true. Devise and propose a plan, telling others what they should do based upon some scheme, and it will be thwarted and nullified. Verbalize your will, and it will not stand, because God is with us. Indeed, this is what Yahweh actually said to me, with great authority and power, providing instruction, teaching me, and encouraging me to walk away from the way of such people and nations, for the express purpose of saying, you should not speak of conspiracy concerning anything which by association the nation says or promises. So he's giving you this whole long list of all of the behaviors, all the will of nations. He says it's all for naught. You think you're out there scheming and that they're great schemes and the great militaries and their all of their might and their weapons and their plans are going to influence the world and prevail. They're going to fluoride you. They're going to GMO you. They're going to chemtrail you. He says, rubbish. All of it. Their plans and schemes are not, for naught, useless, counterproductive. He says, I'm telling you all this because I'm trying to teach you something. Don't ever stop. Don't choose to speak about conspiracy concerning anything which by association the nation says or promises. Don't do it. Such conspiratorial themes you should oppose. But also oppose being alarmed and concerned by them. Avoid revering and respecting them. And never dread them. That's God's position on conspiracy. That's good enough for me. That happens to be my view on conspiracy as well. I'm not that God asked my opinion on this. That was the only reasonable and rational conclusion that could be drawn. The fact that God is reasonable and rational and is expressing that view simply affirms that the God I know is consistently reasonable and rational. If you're a conspiracy advocate, stop it. If you want to have a relationship with God. If you don't care about what Yahweh says, then do whatever you want. If you care about what God says, if you're willing to go where the words lead, then stop it. Disassociate yourself from such things. Now, when I said that in yesterday's program, those who would regularly pester me on conspiracy theories, whether it be the absurdity of chemtrails or the craziness of fluoride or the hilarious deception of Building 7 of the World Trade Center. All but one stopped. All but one said, yeah, I get it. It's one thing for you to say you're not a fan of conspiracy theories and you think they're all poppycock. But when God says, let's do not promote conspiracy, don't go there. You know, that's I'm going to go where God's words lead. So let's change the topic. That didn't happen with everybody. This person wrote, his name is Ed, he says, hi, Yada, I heard your comments about conspiracy theory and Isaiah 8, and I had to think, there he goes again. Yeah, boy, can you imagine a guy quoting God and relying on God's testimony? Oh, boy, there he goes again. This nincompoop constantly relies on God. Number one, Alex Jones is a researcher, not a conspiracy theorist. That's almost funny. That's just you casting aspersions. Okay. Just face it, Yada. You got 9/11 wrong, and it's time you admit it. Wipe the egg off your face and get over it.
Okay.
Now, mind you, let me finish the letter and I'll tell you my response in a second. After all, Yada, how did Building 7 collapse in free fall? Because the explosives were in Building 7 at least 2 weeks before 9/11. Your position is undefendable. So quit it. Thanks for exposing Christianity, Ed. After all, Yada, how did Building 7 collapse in free fall? Because, he wanted to make sure that I understood his view, explosives were in Building 7 at least 2 weeks before 9/11. Okay. Here's my response. Ed, I'm going to respond to you based entirely on the tone and content of your emails that you have sent to me. This wasn't the first, by the way, from Ed. My hope is that I never hear from you again. Pester someone else. If you can't restrain yourself, then propose your nonsense to someone who is already deceived beyond hope. I don't want any association with a conspiracy advocate. I think you're all crazy. You call yourself truthers, and yet outside of your circle, you have no credibility whatsoever. I watched AJ throw a tizzy fit and lose it completely on two television programs. If you think that this represents the behavior of a thoughtful and reasonable researcher, and that I'm casting aspersions by challenging the many ruses, then that's your problem. He's playing you for a fool to make a buck. With him, it's all a game. He's a smart man. He knows what he's doing. So cling to your Building 7 idiocy, your chemtrail stupidity, your Pentagon missile myth, your GMO concerns, your fluoride invasion, your HARP theories, if that's what you find entertaining. But don't pretend that you can convince a reasonable, rational, and informed individual that your conspiracies make sense. They don't. What's next? The protocols of the elders of Zion? Jewish bankers? Big corporations? The 1%? Where are you going next? Now that you know that Yahweh is opposed to the promotion of conspiracy and don't seem to care, I have no reason to care. Go away. Go play with those who are similarly duped. I shared this email, as I do most of my email correspondence, with two individuals, one of which has a site that posts not only the archives of this program, and I mention that because they actually label the content of each hour. So for those looking for a particular topic in the news, you can go directly to them. He said, well said. Thank you for sharing. Just reading this, his email makes my eyes cross. Well, what did Ed respond? I'm going to share Ed's response, and then we're going to go into his Building 7 myths. Laugh out loud. Your show is in the public domain, so that's the risk you take. 58,000 New Yorkers signed a petition to get a new investigation on Building 7. I'm going to share the results of the two investigations on Building 7 with you in a moment. And I'm willing to bet the same proportion of New Yorkers are Jewish signed the petition. I've got to bring in the Jews, I guess. That's part of conspiracy theory. I've lived in Metro New York, and I'm comfortable with Jews. Had a brother-in-law that's Jewish and two nephews from that marriage. I don't believe the anti-Jew stuff. Anyway, you cannot explain Building 7 issue with your pro-government tripe. Imagine. This program devotes the first 2 hours, almost every day, to exposing and condemning the U.S. government and other governments around the world. because Yahweh does not want us to be political. The first requirement for participating in the covenant is to walk away from your country. So it's important that you understand why walking away from your country is a good idea. Now, God doesn't mean that you walk away from your country in the sense that I live in either Virginia or California and that I walk or swim to the Bahamas or walk down to Mexico. That's not what he's talking about, because there I would be in a new country. He's saying just don't become an ally of the government. Don't believe the government rhetoric. Don't trust your government. That's what he means. I am the opposite of a pro-government advocate. And by the way, I can't explain boldness, so I'll explain it to you in a moment. People that study this stuff are researchers, not conspiracy theorists. Yeah, that's what they tell themselves. And what they do, by the way, is they just constantly... It's kind of this circle. If you're a chemtrail enthusiast, you go and you read what somebody wrote about chemtrails. And they have done their research by reading what somebody else said about chemtrails. And all of it is a lie, but the lies are promoted and repeated so often. And there's so many of these nincompoops out there that people begin to believe that it's actually research to listen to one another, lie to one another. It's not my fault you took the government lie. I should, and maybe I will one day, talk about the extent of if the 9/11 was a government lie, the extent of what had to be done by the government to convince us all that they didn't do it. But that for another day. If you cannot tolerate feedback, then get out of radio, because it's just biting out your mean-spirited side. Your lack of integrity on 9/11. I didn't care for feedback. My comment to him was that just go away. I think your conspiracy, if there is, are absolute idiocy. I have no interest in listening to what you have to say. You provide all the feedback you want. Apart from this one and only explanation of Building 7, I will never talk to this individual again. Take it personally if you want, and I will email you if you want to be a denier. Laugh out loud. You're really picking fights you shouldn't pick. Stop promoting your pro-government conspiracy. Yep, it's pretty hard to believe, but nonetheless true, that somebody who claims to listen to this program thinks that I am a government propagandist, that I am a pro-government individual. I mean, it'd be hard to imagine somebody more anti-government than I am. But nonetheless, that's their view. And they want the non-truthers to know that they're not conspiracy theorists, they're researchers. And he says, if you can't tolerate the feedback, then get out of radio, because maybe it just brings out your mean-spirited side. Too bad we can't have a friendly conversation on the subject. Why would you have a friendly conversation about somebody advocating absolute and total nonsense? Take it personally if you want, and I will email you if you want to be a denier of 9/11, laugh out loud. You're really picking fights you shouldn't pick. Stop promoting your pro-government conspiracy. To be precise, you should think harder than you are simply promoting a different conspiracy, that 19 Muslims conspired to pull off 9/11 without help. What a joke. I suspect that the Isaiah quote probably meant for you more than Mr. Conspiracy Promoter. Ha, 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 ha. Scrape off the egg of your face, Ed. Take it personally and make my day. Okay. Now, I didn't respond to Ed's last email. I won't bother. It's be an absolute waste of time. But I am going to explain Building 7, because we've gone through chemtrails before and showed just how utter nonsense that is. But before we do so, one of my favorite callers and a guy that knows a thing or two about his way around conspiracy theories, Glenn, has just called in from Philadelphia. Hello, Glenn.
Hello, Yana. Good morning, good afternoon for me.
Yes.
Good morning for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I thought I would... Play, gentle, polite, contrarian, perhaps, or on this the definition of conspiracy.
Okay.
And actually, lamentable as a mockery may have been in the email, or you know, you were just talking about. Even the I would suggest that even the conventional plan of the Muslims planning to hijack the planes and crash them into the building is certainly conspiratorial in nature, in legal terms, you know.
Yeah.
And conspiracy, like in the strictest sense, you know, con being with or together, and conspiracy being breath or spirit, it means to be together in spirit, okay? And it's just a negatively connoted term for wicked cooperation.
Right.
And we certainly know that this phenomenon exists.
Right.
And I'm pointing out that every day in the courts of this land, you know, people are convicted of conspiracy. And in order for, you know, government detectives, investigators to, you know, convict the people of this, they must first hypothesize and theorize that more than one person could have been involved, that they, you know, formulated a plan. And a definite, you know, plan to, of action and acted on it. So, you know, in those, you know, clear-cut legal terms, certainly conspiracy exists.
Correct.
You know, there's a difference between legally defined conspiracy and out-there fringy wacko conspiracy.
Agreed. When I don't have any issue talking about, for example, the history of Adam Weishaupt's writings as he formed the Order of the Illuminati. His writings are well documented, and how he sought to promote them, their influence on the Jacobins and therefore the French Revolution, their influence on Jefferson, Washington, and Franklin through Freemasonry, the edicts of Freemasonry and the dogma of Freemasonry as rewritten by Adam Weishaupt, and the link between that and political correctness was a group of individuals conspiring. But it's all historical fact. I don't have to do any conjecture, and we can we can report the historic facts about what happened. In fact, God is even here. He's talking about, you know, the nations are conspiring through their treaties and through their militaries to achieve some noble goal, and God's saying it isn't going to happen. You know, it's
And even in a more modern sense, certainly the clandestine fomenting and funding of proxy wars could be considered conspiratorial in nature, for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so I don't have any issue with, for example, talking about how the events in Islam, going back 1,400 years, and cause and consequence, and the American involvement in Afghanistan with Pakistan and the Taliban, and then the invasion of Kuwait, along with Ramzi Youssef's plan, ultimately concluded in 9/11. A lot of people were conspiring to do us and others harm. But as you know, and have admitted, there is a distinct difference between that, reviewing the news and history and analyzing it, and a conspiracy theory on things like Building 7 collapsed by government making it happen and chemtrails. We'll be back with Larry and with Glenn after the break. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. Those who have listened to the show for a long period of time know that I have favorites when it comes to callers. Glenn is one of my favorites because he is so well informed, particularly on words, but also just really well informed in terms of history. But one of the guys that I have developed quite a relationship with over the years, though we've never met personally, because we share so much in common with it, particularly relative to Iowa, is Larry. And Larry is on the phone, and this is a challenge so that our listeners know. While Larry is a guy who has consistently gone where Iowa's words lead, Larry has, while he has left politics and left religion, still has a tendency from here and there to embrace a conspiracy theory or two. So he's the last guy that I want mad at me. So this may be a challenge, but we'll find out here in a second. Larry, my friend, I hope you're not mad at me.
No, not at all. I just wanted to clarify. You know, it's not like you're a guy that isn't aware that government is ought to become bigger. and in doing that they will control us.
Correct.
And you know, you've written volumes about it. I know.
Correct.
Because I've read it.
Correct.
You know, where you and I probably differ is that a lot of times you think these people are just being stupid, and I think they're flatly evil. And I do think they will do things intentionally to harm people. That's my thing.
We're actually on the same page there. I think that most people.
Saying the same thing I am.
Yeah, I think most people who rise to positions of power nationally are evil. I think Obama is evil. I think George Bush before him was evil. I think that the Pope is evil. I think that those who rise to the top ranks in the military are evil. I don't think it's just a matter of them being stumbling fools, doing the wrong things, thinking they're doing the right thing. No, I think they are. I think they're flat out evil. We would agree on that.
I don't think it was an accident that they had us march off in kindergarten in first grade and talk to a flag. Either.
Oh, I agree.
In direct opposition to Yahweh, I want to state.
Yeah, we are in complete harmony, as you know, and as Glenn knows, when it comes to exposing and condemning not only the U.S. government, but other governments around the world.
Yeah, sure.
But we're in absolute agreement that in exposing and condemning religions and religious leaders. We're in absolute agreement in exposing and condemning the military and how it's deployed. So, and we're in total agreement when it comes to exposing malfeasance economically with central banks and particularly the U.S. Federal Reserve.
Well, what I was going to say is this all gives the word conspiracy a bad name because it almost makes it become unutilizable, the mockery of it, because the issue isn't really so much conspiracy, because anytime wicked people, evil people, cooperate to do evil, they are by definition conspiring. So the issue isn't conspiracy per se, but rather unsubstantiated speculation about wide-ranging or very speculative notions of conspiracy.
Yeah, correct. When you get, we're in a complete agreement again. When you move, for example, from the government being counterproductive in its invasion of Afghanistan and Iraq, to the government trying to poison us through chemtrails and not understanding the combustion process of engines and the like, then you've moved from, let's talk about something that's reasonable, that's rational, that's well-documented, and that has profound consequence, into the weird zone. When you move away from 19 Muslims screaming Allahu Akbar, flew suicide missions into the World Trade Center and into the Pentagon, into that it was a government plot to destroy those buildings, and it had nothing to do with Islam or the suicide bombers. Then you moved into into the land of myth, and the reason we use the term conspiracy theory is that's how society as a whole would view those who promote those kinds of myths. And they're really extreme, and there's almost a religious zeal. In fact, not almost. There is absolutely a religious zeal amongst those who consider themselves truthers in regards to these myths, whether it be, the biggies are chemtrails, fluoride, GMOs, HARP, missile for the Pentagon, and Building 7 had nothing to do with Muslims.
Right.
I've gone over chemtrails before and shown that is absolutely poppycock. I mean, it's an absolute lie, and I'm embarrassed for people to buy into the lie. Today, and we're going to end up having to do it tomorrow because we're going to run out of time here today. But I want to expose what actually happened on Building 7. I'm going to walk you through how Building 7 was built, who built it, what made it vulnerable, and what actually caused Building 7 to fall. There's no mystery associated with it. And you're just hoping that when people go through and listen to what actually happened, they'll let go of the myths that are have been associated with what we call conspiracy theorists. Even though I fully agree with both you guys, it's tough using the label because of.
Yeah, and that's what I'm sticking up for. Like, let me give some simpler examples on modern. Before you go into that, just to maybe clear the air about the word itself. Certainly, Hirohito, Hitler, and Mussolini conspired to take over the world. I'm rather doubting. Yada, that you accept the standard Warren Commission report version of the assassination of JFK, or you know, the original version of the RFK assassination, or the Gulf of Tonkin. And how long was it before people finally came to accept that the Gulf of Tonkin incident was a farce? Or remember the Maine for the Spanish-American War?
Let's speak about some of these. The evidence that the Maine was set up, or the Lusitania for World War One was set up. Now that's part of history. So we can talk about it as history. Most of these things, with exception of JFK, there is so much information that is readily known that you can talk about the perpetrators and what their intent was. The one thing that you've mentioned, which really has a whole cult around it in terms of conspiracy, is JFK.
The Warren Commission.
Earl Warren was probably I put him in the top 10 least favorite Americans. I think he
was
extraordinary. And Gerald Ford was on the Warren Commission as well. He is also among my least favorite Americans. So, do I put any faith in it? No, but I'm not going to tell you that try to advance the notion that JFK was assassinated for monetary reasons. That's the number one conspiracy. If you get into the conspiracy theorists, he was about to sign something that would have returned us to the gold standard. Or I've forgotten what the thing I've read about it. And then you do a little investigation and we find out the whole thing's a lie. I don't know why he was killed. I mean, I can speculate lots of reasons, and LBJ was a scumbag. Is there a likelihood that there was considerable malfeasance beyond just one loony bird? Yeah, absolutely. But I don't know what it is, and so I don't want to promote it.
You know, Yada, one of the things that we don't have to speculate on at all is over there in Central California, in certain areas where people have money, they told you guys to cut back to 20% water use.
Yeah.
20%, not a 20% reduction.
Yeah, an 80% reduction.
20%.
Right.
And if I'm not mistaken, you were hit with a $3,000 fine.
Uh-huh. It was actually $2,000 last month. But the three number is legitimate, too, because one of my neighbors was hit with a $300,000 fine.
$300,000 fine.
A one-month fine, $300,000.
Mm-hmm. Led you to re-plumb your home. And
yes, I did.
Doing a whole lot of work so you have your own independent storage tanks and have water trucks.
And pressure system. And in fact, just completed it.
This is insane.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and it's all part of the control mechanism of those who have an environmental tendency they wish to deprive. And there is a control mechanism that surrounds deprivation. And so I've used the experience that I had with what I call the water police here, and their draconian means to punish and control. And I said, this story is interesting because this won't be the only community that is controlled in that way, and that in future days we're going to see our access to the internet, our access to electricity, our access to our own credit cards, our own savings, gasoline for cars. We're going to see it all controlled.
Well, that's where it's all going, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's why you and I have done so effectively, Larry, is that we have taken the time to expose why you ought not trust your government, why you ought not trust your military, why you ought not trust your religion.
I just want to make one more point here, and I guess front.
Yeah.
The very people the very, very people that handed us a religious book called a Biblia, or named after the sun goddess Biblia, are the very same people doing this today. And the same control mechanisms, it's all about control and submission. It's why they change Yahweh's nature to a religious deity.
Right.
And then they pretend to speak for him. So, you know,
religions were conceived by man for the express purpose of control. When Paul wrote it, when Paul wrote his letters, when Constantine advocated them, when Theodosius mandated it, religion was used as a control mechanism. It's the most effective control mechanism that man has ever conceived.
So why would we listen to them?
We shouldn't.
There we go.
We should disassociate ourselves from them. And that's the first requirement of the government. Walk away from them. Disassociate ourselves from them. And the whole reason that we expose and condemn the religion and politics is that so people stop relying on them, stop showing their allegiance to them, and instead to start relying on and showing allegiance to Yahweh. He is trustworthy.
The only hope.
He is the only hope, and we're all on the same page on that. Thank you, Larry. Welcome back to Shattering Myths, the original 7 World Trade Center. It's a 47-story building. It was designed by Emery Roth & Sons. It had a red granite facade. The building was 610 feet tall. It had a trapezoidal footprint. It was 330 feet long by 140 feet wide. Well, 140 feet wide is a very thin building, particularly a building that's 610 feet tall. That's a really thin building. Tishman Realty and Construction managed the construction of the building, which began in 1983. In March of 1987, the building opened, becoming the 7th structure of the World Trade Center, which is why it was called World Trade Center 7. An elevated walkway connected the building to the World Trade Center Plaza. The building was situated above a Consolidated Edison power substation, which imposed very unique structural design constraints. The Con Edison substation that had been on the site since 1967 required that the caissons not only be leveraged off of the power station, but that new caissons be built that cantilevered much of World Trade Center 7. The original caissons surrounding the buried Con Edison substation were designed to carry the weight of a building of no more than 25 stories. World Trade Center 7 was not only 47 stories, making it almost twice as tall as what the foundation was designed to enable. It was actually 3 times larger. The structural design of 7 World Trade Center, therefore, included a system of gravity column transfer trusses and girders located between floors 5 and 7 to transfer the load to the smaller foundation, because it had an extraordinarily small foundation for a building this size. The 5th floor functioned as a structural diaphragm, providing lateral stability and a distribution of loads between the new and the old caissons, the caissons around the Con Edison plant, and the new caissons that were installed to cantilever part of the building's weight. Above the 7th floor, the building's structure was a typical tube frame design with columns in the core and on the perimeter, and lateral load resisted by perimeter moment frames. A shipping and receiving ramp, which served the World Trade Center complex, occupied the eastern quarter of 7 World Trade Center's footprint, making it open to the North Tower. The building was not only open below the 3rd floor, it provided space for a truck clearances on the shipping ramp, which fed directly into the North Tower. The spray-on fireproofing for structural steel elements was a gypsum-based material made by Monocoat, which had a 2-hour fire rating for the steel beams. for the girders and for the trusted, and a 3-hour rating for the columns. That wasn't enough. The mechanical equipment was installed on floors 4 through 7, including 12 transformers on the 5th floor. Several emergency generators installed in the building were used by the Office of Emergency Management, by Solomon Smith Barney, and other tenants. In order to supply the generators, 24,000 gallons of diesel fuel was stored below ground level. Diesel fuel distribution components were located at the ground level and all the way up throughout the floors, including and reaching the 9th floor. After the World Trade Center bombings of February 26, 1993, this is the, I think I said 97 and I misspoke in the earlier segment, the first World Trade Center bombing was February 26, 1993. New York City Mayor, at the time, Rudy Giuliani, decided to situate the Emergency Command Center associated and associated fuel tanks, these are diesel fuels, at 7 World Trade Center. Although this decision was criticized in the light of the events of 9/11, ultimately the diesel fuel in the building today is not believed to have been a major contributor to the collapse of the building. In June 1986, before construction was completed, Silverstein designed or signed Drexel Burnham Lambert as its premier tenant to occupy most all of 7 World Trade Center. They agreed to pay $3 billion over a term of 30 years. We'll pick up this story tomorrow on Shattering Myths, but when we return, we're going to return to our criticism of Paul. Stay with us.